Matthew 21. We'll be reading beginning with verse number 33 to the end of that chapter, Matthew chapter 21. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to a husbandman and went into a far country. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen who shall render him the fruits in their season." Jesus saith unto them, "Did you never read in the Scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard this parable, his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. And when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. Father in heaven, speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As Christ's ministry drew to a close, its severity and its gentleness seemed to increase. Severity to the class to whom it was always severe, but gentle toward those who had gone astray and yet stretched out weak hands groping for mercy and for pardon. The Jews were the first builders to whom God gave the privilege to build His church. But nationally, rather than receive the Son, verse 38, they caught Him and cast Him out of the vineyard and slew Him. Here was a people who consistently refused to bear good fruit for God, but resisted to the point of violence and putting to death God's messengers, including His own begotten Son. Many people today will not stand still if you begin to preach much of the teaching of Jesus Christ concerning this matter of fruit bearing in their lives. I've had people to leave the church because of preaching on fruit bearing. They prefer a church that preaches easy believism without calling attention to the fact that God's people are saved unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Our text today offers only words of severity and awful judgment for the rejecters of Christ and His teaching. The kingdom of God, he said, is to be taken away from them and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. The kingdom of God is literally going to be taken from them and given to the church. Peter, writing to the church later of Jesus Christ, says this, 1 Peter 2, 6 and 7, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Every man will make some kind of response to Jesus Christ. I'm not speaking of the places where the gospel has not gone. That's another subject, and not the question before us this morning. I am speaking today exclusively about persons who have heard the word of salvation and are dwelling in the midst of a land where the word of God is constantly preached. Christ has been offered to each of us in good faith on God's part as a means of salvation. He is a sure foundation on which we can build. Man is free to accept or reject the cornerstone of this foundation. Now watch this morning. Here comes that strange mystery that men, free in his choice, many will turn away from God's mercy and makes him who was intended to be the basis of life, the foundation of hope, the source of blessing, the rock on which to build a sure and steadfast house, a disallowed and rejected stone. But notice this. When a person disallows this chief cornerstone in the building of his life, it becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense upon which he falls and breaks himself. Jesus Christ does something to every one of us. He is either the rock on which I build a strong house, or he is the stone on which I stumble and ruin myself. To be totally unaffected by a Bible-saturated society is impossible. The Word of God does not return void. It is either received and obeyed and blesses a life, or it is rejected and despised and disobeyed and breaks a life and ultimately grinds to powder. To whom much is given, God said, much shall be required. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So it is not possible to so isolate yourself from God that you are untouched by His Word or His messengers. You heard the Word as a child through various media. You cannot say that you are as ignorant of God as the heathen who bow before idols. People in America can no more say, I've never heard of Jesus. I've never seen a Bible. I will pass by the gospel. It is nothing to me. I will simply let it alone. This past Christmas time, everywhere you went, you heard songs about Jesus. You saw posters and billboards about Jesus. On the radio and the television, there were programs about Jesus. You cannot say that you are ignorant of the Lord. You know who Jesus is. You know who the Son of God is. But notice this. God is not finished with this account. You can no more turn a deaf ear and walk away from Jesus and totally isolate yourself from the other influences in our society. You cannot go back to naked barbarianism. You cannot escape the authority and the final accountability for having heard the Word of God, for having a knowledge of Jesus Christ. You may hear it and let it alone, but that is not the final end of the matter. In Psalm 73, the psalmist said that he had almost stumbled at the thought of some of the wicked who were prospering. You and I have been there too. We wonder how in the world can that happen. But the psalmist said, I almost stumbled when I looked at all of these rich men and and how it looked like their lives were nothing bad ever happened to them. They could sin and get away with it. They could sin and win. But the psalmist said, until I considered their end, When I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood. The psalmist said, they are brought to desolation. They are utterly consumed with terrors. You see, the light of the authority of God's Word, the reality of His Son Jesus Christ coming to earth and dying for sinners, this stamps on the soul an ineffaceable sign of its having been there when once the gospel has ever been heard. So we know today, we've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel once heard is always the gospel which has been heard. Nothing can alter that. Once heard, it becomes a perpetual element to be factored in the determination of the present life and the future life of that hearer. In 2 Peter 2:21, Peter said this, "For it had been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from that holy commandment delivered unto them." Peter is speaking of a person who has learned about Christ and how to be saved and live for God, but he rejects the Lord and he rejects the truth and he returns to his sin. The result is that he is worse than before. Verse 20 says, "The latter end is worse with them than the beginning." He had failed to renounce his sin. He had failed to make Jesus Lord in his life. He has rejected the only way out of his sin. He has said no to the only way of salvation. He's like the man sinking in quicksand who refuses to grab the rope thrown to him. The person who turns away from Jesus casts away the only means of escape from the wrath to come. Some are here today. You may have known what it is not to allow Christ his proper place in your life. You know, every once in a while you see builders building and they have all kinds of things on the building site. In the olden days, they would build out of stones, and over here is this stone. It's just sitting over there. Nobody's done anything with it. And here the builder is, every once in a while he'll come by and he's got something else on his mind, and he'll trip over that stone and he'll fall. He might even break a leg. But that stone is sitting over there. Nobody's done anything with it, but they know it's there. You may be here this morning, you know about Jesus, but you haven't done anything with Him. And every once in a while you think about Him. But probably the only time you think about Him is when you fall. When you get in a mess. When you get all tripped, when the devil gets you all tripped up. And you're falling over the Lord Jesus and not doing anything with Him. Refusing to incorporate Him into the building of your house. It's just sitting over there. As a result, your life is broken. This morning you're here, your life is fragmented. You may be a failure. The house you've built has crumbled. Or it's in the process of collapsing. And coming to ruin. Why? Because you've not properly appropriated the Lord Jesus Christ in the building of your home. Jesus said in Luke 11:23, "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth." Jesus then in verses 24 through 26 says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. And he says to himself, I'm going to return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth swept and garnished. And then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." Amen. The desire to reform often does not last long. Make all the New Year's resolutions you want to. Go to the altar as many times as you want to. Until you do business with Jesus Christ and really mean it, you're lost. And Satan is going to get the victory in your life. I tell you that this morning. Listen, the desire to reform doesn't last long. We must receive Christ. It's not enough to be emptied of evil on one occasion. We must receive the Savior into our lives and be filled with the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's new purpose in our becoming new creatures in Jesus. Failure to properly incorporate Jesus as Lord in our lives. Failure to honor Him as the foundation stone on which we build is to be broken. A broken life is a life that has failed. A life that is ruined. A life that did not become what God intended it to be. And at the last judgment, God's enemies will be crushed by that judgment. Christ the stone, which the builders rejected, will in the end become the crushing stone, you see. Now is the time to give Him the proper place in your life as the head of the corner. Jesus is the cornerstone. Yes, Jesus does something to every one of us. His gospel will tell upon you. His gospel is telling upon you this very moment. If you disbelieve it, you are still not the same as if you never heard. You are worse. God's Word is a savor of life unto life and of death unto death. And as we think about our text, Christ is something and does something to every one of us. He's either the rock on which I build, poor, weak creature that I am, getting strength and support from the sure foundation stone, or else He is the other thing. He is the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to them which stumble at the Word. Christ stands forever in some kind of relation to us. Christ exercises forever some kind of influence on us. Every man who has ever heard the gospel has been affected. The immediate effect of rejection of Him is to be broken. Broken is the Greek word southeleo. It means shattered. It means dashed together. It means your dreams and your plans and your goals in life are dashed to the ground, your hopes for the future. We speak of lives being shattered. What caused it? The rejection of Jesus Christ in their lives. Failure to properly appropriate the chief cornerstone in the foundation processes of life. We hear it so often. We got away from our church. We got away from the Lord. Everything went wrong. My life is wrecked. My children are out in the world. They've gone astray. My bank account has been depleted. My hopes and my dreams are all gone. They're all broken. We could have made it had we stayed close to the Lord. We could have made it had we honored God. But we chose to turn away from God and go into the world. And today our lives are wrecked and ruined and broken. In the rejection of Christ, it is not that you stand there and just simply let Him go past. Now that would be bad enough, but the fact is worse than that. It's that you turn your back on Him. It's not that His hand is laid on yours and yours remains dead and cold and doesn't grab hold of His. No. But it's that when He lays His hand on yours, you tighten the grip even more and refuse to take His hand in salvation. Lovers of darkness, Jesus said, more than lovers of light. Oh, the conscience hardens. The spirit worsens and all its lowest desires are strengthened by the rejection of Jesus. And step by step, through the simple process of saying, I'll not have Christ to rule over me, the whole being, the whole tabernacle of man degenerates until manhood becomes saturated by sin, until the soul is corrupt and wicked and past feeling and worse than if it had never heard the gospel message of Jesus. Every time you stifle a feeling of remorse, every time you drive away a conviction, every time you say, Maybe later I'll love him. Maybe later I'll trust him. Maybe later I'll receive him. And you don't do it. Every time you don't do it, you have harmed your soul. You have made yourself worse. You have numbed your conscience. You have enfeebled your will. You've made your heart harder against God. Every time. Whosoever falls on this stone, by the natural result of unbelief, we shall be broken. Life shall be shattered. He shall mar his own nature and in his existence. Whoever is not in Christ is in some way broken. Only in Christ is there life and life abundant. Only in Christ do we get the power to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. There alone is the soul planted in the good soil and becomes well-rounded and strong and becomes a fruit-bearing tree, bearing its fruit in its season. We could say all other men are half men. They're quarter men. They're fragments of men. They're parts of humanity exaggerated and contorted and distorted, but they are not what God meant for them to be. Oh, God would have us to be complete and entire, wanting nothing. Nothing maimed, nothing shattered, nothing broken, but God is not mocked. Whosoever falls on this stone shall be broken. And it applies to all who set themselves to actively oppose the truth. Skeptics of long ago, what has become of them? Opponents fire their small shot against the rock of ages, and those little pellets fall flattened to the ground. All the modern opposition to this gospel shall go as all the past has done. The newest systems that cut and carve Christianity will go to the tomb where all the rest have gone. From the pit of hell, the old infidels will call out and say to the brand new ones of this generation, "Are ye also become weak as we? Art thou become as one of us? Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." All the opinions and books and talk and arguments of men will come to nothing, and they will break into scattered foam like waves breaking against the rocky cliffs. Oh, listen. The ultimate issue is Jesus today. While the falling on the stone speaks of repercussions and brokenness in this life, the latter clause speaks about the active agency of Jesus Christ. This is not passive. This is not inactive. It is active. It is injury beyond remedy. Proverbs 29:1 says it like this: "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." 2 Chronicles 36:16, "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of God arose against his people till there was no remedy." No remedy. There was no cure. There was no help. There was no alternative. Here is the ultimate issue of rejection of Christ. A stone that, as it were, takes wings and comes down in mighty judgment, crushing utterly, and not only crushing, but grinding to powder. When the end shall have come, it is a fact too awful to dwell upon when you look upon the total wrath from the Lamb of God. Revelation 6 describes a little bit of it, where the men of the world are running to the rocks and the caves, and they're saying, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Matthew 25:46, Jesus said, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Christ may seem to us to be silent now. His word is there. You may accept it. You may appropriate it. You may receive it into your heart. You may ask Him to be your Savior and make Him the foundation stone of your life. Or you can take no action whatever concerning Him. You can continue to stumble over Him and suffer damage and loss and hurt in this life. But finally, for those who continually reject Him and go out to meet God unprepared, it is a stone of grinding judgment. He may be silent now, but He will speak. His voice shall once again shake the heavens and the earth. The question is this morning, what have you done with Jesus? Is He the center of your life? Is He the foundation stone of your life? Are you building your whole life around Him? Or have you tried to avoid even thinking about Him? Have you tried to avoid even getting involved in His church and being a witness for Jesus Christ? How many people this past week have you told about Jesus? Do you really believe in Him? Do you really believe that we have a heaven to win and a hell to shun? Do you really believe it? Why are we not about our Father's business if we believe it? Oh, my one purpose in life is to bring people to Jesus Christ. If I cannot get you to Jesus, I have failed you. I have failed. But so many come and so many go. And I feel like so many people I have reached out to, I have preached to, I have poured out my heart to, but some have never responded. Some have never come. And today they're still lost. They're still turning a deaf ear to Jesus Christ. Do you feel in your heart this morning that your life has been a failure? Is your life turned upside down? Do you wonder which way to turn? Do you realize that in this service this morning, you can make a decision that will affect your whole eternity? Where you spend eternity can be decided this very moment this morning. You may have attended church all your life and thought you were a Christian. But after hearing this message, you realize you have never had that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You may have gone forward because someone else did. You may have accepted Christ under the pressure of a mom and dad. Or maybe under the peer pressure of a fellow student. Or a fellow adult, a relative, a friend, a neighbor. But you have never yourself come to a personal decision in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you lost this morning? Do you talk to the Lord as you talk to a friend? Do you pray to Him every day? Do you love Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Has God done a work in your heart? Are you still the same cold sinner? Just me, my four, and no more. Are you the same private, isolated person who doesn't really care about the person next to him or the neighbor down the street or the business acquaintance or the clerk at the store? Are you really Jesus? Do you really belong to Him? Oh, don't leave the building this morning until you settle this and turn your life over to Jesus. Renounce your sin. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to do it now. You need to do it now. Husband, if I ask your wife if you are a Christian, could she say, yes, I know he's a Christian? If I were to say, wife, does your husband pray? Could your wife truthfully say, yes, my husband prays every day. I hear him pray. I see him on his knees. I see him reading his Bible. Wife, if I ask your husband, does your husband ever see you pray? Ever take your arms and wrap them around your children and pray for those little kids? Do you do it? Do you do it? Or is religion just something nice to have? Or do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? There's a difference. There's a difference. Do you have that personal relationship? Amen. That personal relationship. Do you pray? Do you read His love letter to you? Is He special to you? Do you want to see other people saved? Oh, listen. God's calling this morning. God's burdened my heart with this message. Everywhere I go, I see people stumbling. Everywhere I go, I see lives that are wrecked because they've not come to Jesus and incorporated Him in the building of their lives. Oh, today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be the first and the foremost, the chief cornerstone in your life. The center of everything that you build around and build on should be Jesus. 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 He says, without Me, you can do nothing. Will you come to Jesus today? You've been doing all the wrong things. I've had people tell me, preacher, if there's a sin to commit, I've committed it. I've broken all the commandments. I say you need Jesus. There's only one way to get through it. You can leave this place today having been changed by the grace of God and forgiven, or you can just remain as you are. Your only chance of breaking the chains of sin is to turn your life over to someone who's stronger than you are. Amen. Jesus will give you a new heart. He'll give you a new spirit. No one but Jesus can free you from the shackles that bind you this morning. Amen. You need Jesus. You need the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. Oh, listen. Have you received Him? That's the question I pose to you this morning. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. We can go out to meet God, saved, rejoicing in the hope of seeing our Lord and Savior. Or we can die in our sins and go to a devil's hell under the grinding power of this stone that the builders rejected. You say, preacher, I don't like the sound of that. I don't either. But it's the Word of God. We can either love Jesus and respond to His message of love and mercy and grace, or we can turn up our noses at the Bible. We can grab hands with the world. We can go off into sin and turn our backs on Jesus. But the Lord is saying, it's not over. It's not over. You will say, well, you know, I'll have the final word. No, you won't. No, you won't. You say, I'll do with my life what I please. No, you won't. No, you won't. You may for a short time right now, but I promise you there'll come a day when there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and you'll find yourself in a place not of your choosing, and you'll find yourself in pain and suffering not of your choosing. No, you won't always get your way. God's going to have His way. How is it with you today? Will you come to Jesus? Will you receive Him? Will you turn from sin to the Savior and love Him with all of your heart? Will you love the church? Will you love your neighbor? Will you allow Christ to fill you with His love and His peace and His grace? Will you do that? Every head bowed, every eye closed.